Hi, welcome to the Developer's Guide to Windows 10 Preview. I'm Andy Wigley. I'm a developer evangelist, works out of Microsoft in the UK.
I'm Jerry Nixon, also a developer evangelist here in the United States.
So this session, we're going to talk about adaptive triggers, which is a technique for helping you to create adaptive UIs that will give you your users a great experience with your app running on different screen sizes, different orientations.
There's a full story when we're talking about adaptive applications in Windows 10. And I think it's worth talking through that story and kind of seeing how adaptive triggers fit into that. All right, so what's the story for Windows 10? Well, it kind of begins with just good practices, the sort of things that we learn, I guess, as web developers.
Yep. Yeah, so web developers have been used to, for a long, long time, thinking about their pages working on different screens, different devices. So they've been doing this kind of these kind of design approaches for quite some time. For, as app developers now, on the Windows 10 platform, you've got one binary, you've got a UI that needs to adapt to run on potentially small phone screens, right up to maybe Surface Hub 85-inch wall-mounted devices, if you wish. You don't have to have it running on all of them, but these are the things you can do. And so we need some techniques in our toolbox to help us to address this problem and create great experiences for our users.
And you know, beyond some of those design best practices that we've already learned as web developers that we get to employ, there are also some things specifically in our toolbox that allow us to really make it elegant as well. So one of the first things that you get to do is the idea of XAML views. So this allows me to take my XAML and break it into multiple files while still having a single code behind or a single XAML controller. This means I can move from one to another. Maybe one is all of my phone XAML and one is all of my desktop and one is all of my Xbox XAML, right? All separated so that my XAML is simplified. Maybe I can even send this off to different developers or different designers even and let them focus on it. And that allows me to sort of isolate my code. But I also have this idea of the relative panel, another tool that's in the XAML toolbox that I can use where this control allows for its children to be laid out in relation to the other children. Another really powerful and neat piece of the adaptive story that we have for Windows 10. So let's take a look here. This is OneNote. So this is one of the earlier mockups. It may look a little bit different now. I don't know for sure. But this allows us to really see how the UI is changing as it goes from one screen to another. So I start on the desktop, let's say, over here on the right. And as I move into the phone, like you said, it's a single binary that I get to run on all these devices. So now the developer gets to think, as a design process, what's going to happen next? Does the menu go away? Do things get rearranged? What you don't want to do is take away the value of your app that makes it distinct. What you do want to do is make it so that the usability of the application is appropriate for the size and the device that it's running on. So it may be smaller because it's on a phone, but it might be smaller just because it's made smaller on a desktop. So there's a lot of options that we need to think about as design developers.
And you can see actually on this image, the one we've got here, that on the desktop we've got on the right-hand side, you've got a kind of a quick link launch to different pages. And that actually becomes the primary UI when we get over to the phone. So the developers clearly thought about this, the designers thought about this, and giving this great usability to both sets of users, but obviously access to the same important information.
And so it's nice to think about your design in three big tranches, right? The first one would be, and four if you include Xbox. And so the first one would maybe be phone. And then it goes into a touch experience that's like a desktop. So let's call that the tablet. And then the desktop or laptop as well. So these three big kind of tranches, what you would look at and you say, okay, which one of those am I designing now? And so maybe those are broken up into different XAML views, maybe. And then we can go vertically and say, okay, I'm in the phone, but what does a 4-inch phone look like? And I think we know we don't want to zoom in and out. We're not trying to scale it. We're trying to actually make it tailored so it looks really great on a 4-inch phone, just like it looks great on a 5-inch phone. So maybe we use, say, visual states. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this section, is to talk about how we use visual states, more particularly how we use some of the new features and visual states around setters and triggers.
Sure.
You don't have to do any of this. I think that's the important takeaway. A developer can deliver it as is. We've done the work under the covers for you to make sure that your application runs across wherever UAP is supported, which is everywhere Windows 10 can be installed. Right? We know that's a lot. But we also know users love apps that are great on all their devices.
Yep, so you put the effort, you need to focus on this and put that effort in and create a really great experience for all your users. And that's, you know, that's great user experience. They're going to love your app. It's win-win.
Yeah, so let's look at some of the improvements around visual states, especially these this idea of setters and triggers. All right, so first we have the ability to have setters. So it used to be that we would animate everything. So we would use object keyframes whenever we needed to go, say, from collapsed to visible. But there's really nothing in between collapsed and visible. It just goes from collapsed to visible.
Yeah, the binary switch thing.
What are you really animating? Nothing at all. It's just a binary switch. Right, exactly. And so now we have this ability with setters to do these discrete properties. So we can just say, set the value. There's no need for the overhead of an animation. So that part's beautiful. So that's new for us. And now we also have this idea of triggers. And triggers are great because we get to define our view state and say, or our visual state, and say, when should this be visible? And with no code running on our side, we allow for the underlying framework to look at these triggers and invoke this visual state for us. So you can see the syntax here below.
Yeah, and before we had these visual state triggers, you'd have to have some kind of code behind, some event handler that would be looking at some size changed event or something, and then you would have code that would be manually switching from one visual state to another. So this now allows us to put kind of that intelligence in a no-code sort of way, in a declarative way in our XAML, the same kind of logic, but it makes it just neater and cleaner.
Yeah. And it also made it so that we were repeating code and not being consistent, right? I'll handle size change this way, and then the next project I'm in, I'll handle size change that way. So it's just good from a consistency point of view as well, and the ability for me to bring you in on my project team and you to understand what I'm doing because it's not all custom. All right, so look at setters. So the first thing that you should notice is the target. And so let me just say the target is different. Usually we're used to a setter saying property, and then the property name, and then the value, and the new value. But the problem is, if you do it that way, then whose property are you setting? So target is the new way where I can say the X name. So in this case, my panel.orientation equals horizontal. I can switch the panel orientation that way. So that's a kind of a catch, right, where you may see setter, you may be looking for property because you're thinking of styles. But these are visual states. And then adaptive trigger below, you can see min width window 600, and we'll talk about that here. So triggers, there are two types of triggers, min window width, sorry, I read that backwards, and min window height. Each of those basically saying anything above this. So if I said min window width 0, it's basically saying everything.
Yeah, that's going to always be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, typically you're going to have we only had one visual state shown, but you're clearly going to have two or more of those. And at runtime, it's going to continually evaluate all those triggers and kind of select the best match. And that'll be the one that gets applied. So this is how you get this no-code switching between your different visual states, like from portrait to landscape. It's all based on this. You'll typically have a min window height equals 0, which is your kind of catch-all case.
Right.
And then you might have a min window height of 600 or 300 or something. Yeah. And they will kind of activate according to the different, as your screen size changes, whatever your app's running on.
And every app's going to be slightly different.
Sure.
Yeah. You may or may not support certain sizes. It's really up to you. Yeah. All those values, by the way, are set in effective pixels, which means don't think about scaling, don't think about resolution, don't think about DPI. Let us do that. Set everything in effective pixels so that it's a consistent experience across every device and every scale factor. And so that's important. So are these pixels? No. These are effective pixels, which is that abstracted pixel. It's important.
Yeah.
Let me show it to you as a demo, and you tell me if I'm doing it right.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to start here in Blend. I love using Blend. Of course, you know Blend's been enhanced in 2015, so it's just fantastic. All right, so I'll start with a blank UAP application here. And the first thing I'll do is let me go down to my XAML file. This is my main page file. And I just need some things to move around. So I'm going to draw a rectangle here. And so let me go to the rectangle. I'll just find it. I'll draw a rectangle here. I'll keep it selected, and then I'll just copy it twice. So now paste. Now I have three rectangles in my canvas, and I'll just move those around. So states, again, this is a functionality that I have inside Blend. And so I can create three quick states. I'll create One, two, three. And remember, Blend allows me to record states, so it's really great. I'll rename them so it's Visual State Phone, Visual State Tablet, and then Visual State Laptop. So this sort of matches what we were talking about before, right?
Yep.
And so I'll do it as desktop. All right, there we go. So again, it's recording all the actions. You can see that red dot.
So we're in the phone state, yep.
Yeah, so the phone's going to be narrow. So I have these three rectangles, and I want them all to sort of sit on top of each other so you don't lose anything because of real estate. Now here's my tablet. It's still narrow, but not quite as narrow. Let's just say, right? This is a contrived example to show off the capabilities. And then here's desktop. But look, I can change the view here. So I'm looking at a desktop view, so it's quite a bit wider. And while I'm in desktop, I have plenty of horizontal space. So I'll move everything then to be here in the horizontal space. So there they're all set up. Let's just preview those. So there's phone, right? Nice and narrow. Here's tablet, and there's desktop. So nothing new yet. Right? This is all capability of Blend that's always been there. So let me go into the visual state here, and there's no tooling for this just yet. So I'm typing this in so you can see it. And so I'll add my state triggers. This is an adaptive trigger with a min window of 0. Remember we talked about that just a second ago. That 0 means everything bigger than this. So this is any window width will qualify for this one.
So that's your catch-all state.
Yeah, so it all starts with phone. And so that the most narrow just makes sense.
Yep.
So I'll copy that and paste it down here. And so tablet, we'll make it 600, right? So I mean, just arbitrary, we're picking this. And then I'll paste the same thing down here in our desktop view, visual state, and we'll make it, let's say, 800. So we don't have to have the code behind to do this. It'll automatically do that for us. So look, I'll just launch it right now. And it'll launch in a windowed state here in Windows 10 for me.
Yep.
And then as I start making the adjustments, it'll automatically start changing which visual state. And so you can see it's switching to be narrow and not, and I could probably tweak that.
Right.
But let me show you the setters as well, because there are more capabilities that are worth showing off. So again, there's the tooling's not here right now, but it's coming. And so just let me type it in so you can see what it's going to look like. So visual state setter, and this, remember, it's target. And so let me make sure I get the name right. Rectangle 1, and so rectangle 1 dot, and then I can say the property. So a rectangle doesn't have a background, it has a fill. And we'll make it red whenever it's in the phone visual state. And so, perfect. I'll copy that, and I'll move that down into the tablet. And instead of making it red, just so they're all different, we'll make it red-green. We'll do the whole RGB thing here. And then when it goes to the large one, it'll be blue. So in the most wide, where it defaults, it's blue. And as we go, it'll be green. And a little further, we can go down to red. So not only is it switching because of the adaptive triggers, but I'm also using the setter. So both the adaptive trigger and the setter are all being used here. And quite straightforward, right? There's not a lot of complexity here. Nope. Just the ability to set an explicit value in a property and the ability to define when this visual state should show up and just allow the underlying framework to switch it out for me. Pretty nice, pretty easy.
Cool. Yeah.
Yep. And so these are just enhancements to the existing visual state that we've been using all along. And so triggers, the best part about triggers, they're a zero code visual state switching solution. And we know, because we are inside knowing people, that right now we can set it with width and height, but we also know there's going to be some custom solutions as well that we'll be able to use some reusable code that you can use in your different projects to say, now I've got a sophisticated time to switch. When should I do it? But I want to make sure that sophistication goes for every page in my application and for every application in my family of applications. So we can start building those out as well. So triggers are just going to, they have a good path coming in front of them.
Right.
All right, so what did we talk about? We talked about the strategies. So inside your story, the Windows 10 adaptive story for your application, we know we have the strategies that we learned as web developers to build responsive design applications. We also have this ability to split up our views into separate pieces. We have that relative panel, a new control in our toolbox we can use. And now these enhancements to the visual state that we can use as well. And on it goes to make it as easy as possible. So this is the developer's guide to the Windows 10 preview. Lots of things are going to be changing. Tooling will be changing a little bit, but this is where we're headed, and this is what you can play with today. So go get Visual Studio 2015 preview. Try it for yourself. See how easy it is. Then come back and watch another module with us.